up this afternoon. The supplementary affidavits filed by...
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in one-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Suspended Chief Justice Gertrude Tokonu, in which she argues her constitutional rights have been violated by the committee struck out by the Supreme Court. We have details of the decision of the Supreme Court, plus the spirited arguments of lawyers on both sides. Also in this bulletin, government gears up to roll out its much-touted 24-hour economy policy as President Mahama confirms he has reviewed the final draft, saying the framework is ready to deliver results.
The broader plan. The 24-hour economy program identifies priority value chains across all regions, and these include agro-processing, pharmaceuticals, textiles, light manufacturing, tourism, digital services, and the creative economy.
Deputy Minority Leader formally tables motion requesting the Minister for Foreign Affairs to appear before Parliament to provide briefing on the closure of Ghana's embassy in Washington, D.C., describing the decision as reckless.
It is the one person who has committed that. So why do we are we seeing reckless closure of the place?
But the Majority Leader says government did no wrong in shutting down the embassy.
And I will highly commend the Minister for Foreign Affairs for the swiftness, the steadfastness, and the commitment to fighting corruption.
What's up in sports?
Accra House of Hope will have both its men and women's teams playing top flight football next season after Oaks FC, their women's team, secure promotion to the Ghana Women's Premier League.
Great. Also in this bulletin.
So right now, I've been assaulted with this pebble. That's another assault on me. Someone using this rubber band hits me.
Attack on Joy News journalist Latif Idrisu by some sympathizers of the MPP.
Did you just make a statement that we are attacking the police?
I said I have reported that
this is on your portal. When I go on your portal, I'll get this for attack.
Let's not go.
Media Group Limited has strongly condemned the incident and filed a police complaint. Meanwhile, the MPP has apologized for the assault on Latif.
Let me apologize to you that any assault on you is regrettable. So please, my brother, let's continue to work together.
We have these and more with me, Hannah Odami. Thanks for choosing us this afternoon. We are Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. In our first story, government is set to roll out its 24-hour economy policy. President Mahama says he has reviewed the final draft and described it as clear and results-driven. Key features include turning the Volta Lake into a major transport route and decentralizing the policy to the district level. At a multi-sectorial meeting at the Jubilee House, the president also revealed plans to set up a 24-hour economy secretariat. He says this will operate as an independent body.
Volta Lake Corridor is only part of the broader plan. The 24-hour economy program identifies priority value chains across all regions, and these include agro-processing, pharmaceuticals, textiles, light manufacturing, tourism, digital services, and the creative economy. Each one has specific bottlenecks, and the program outlines targeted solutions. On infrastructure, the Ghana Infrastructure Investment Fund will lead efforts to develop industrial parks, logistics hubs, and upgrade transport links. On financing, the Development Bank of Ghana and the Venture Capital Trust Fund will scale up value chain finance for SMEs, cooperatives, and agribusiness in priority sectors. On land, we will develop local land banks, zoned, titled, and investment ready to reduce any delays and uncertainty to investors. On skills, the Aspire 24 sub-program of the 24-hour economy policy will be launched to train young people for shift-based work, digital roles, and entrepreneurship. And on incentives, we'll introduce tax reliefs on machinery and inputs, fast-track regulatory approvals, and export facilitation.
Well, the president also used the opportunity to talk about some strategic initiatives tied to the policy.
We must re-engineer our production systems from top to bottom, boosting volumes and diversity, and shifting from reliance on raw materials towards the export of value-added products. One of its boldest proposals is the development of the Volta Lake Economic Corridor. This corridor, centered on the Volta Lake and the Volta Basin, will become a national production zone and logistics span. The plan envisions cultivating over 2 million hectares of arable lakeside land, revitalizing the fisheries sector on the lake, and creating a chain of industrial parks that produce goods for domestic and regional markets. To support this corridor, the lake will be activated as a transport highway, moving food, people, and goods more efficiently than our congested roads allow us to do currently. New floating assets, lake ports, and long-term investment partnerships will be developed in coordination with the Volta River Authority and the private sector. We must move beyond just hydropower and unlock the broader economic potential of this beautiful national asset.
We hear the President Mahama. Well, Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Agbagba is covering this event and joins us live on the line. So, Maxwell, industry players asked the President if the city's appreciation could continue, possibly reaching partially with the U.S. dollar. How did he respond?
Well, he says they shouldn't panic. He stated that there was no deliberate attempt to force the value of the dollar down. He expressed doubt that the exchange rate would ever reach $1, explaining that such a scenario could lead to the collapse of Ghana's export sector. He added that the governor of the Bank of Ghana was closely monitoring the situation and assured that the central bank would intervene if the exchange rate fell below a certain threshold in order to keep it within an acceptable range.
It's not like somebody is deliberately forcing the dollar down. It is the result of the bids that is finding what the true value of the city is. And I believe that it will arrest where the true value is based on the issues of demand and supply. And so I don't envisage that some people say it will come to one city, $1. No, that's extreme. We'll eventually collapse our export sector if that happens. But I think that the governor of the bank has an eye on it, and if it goes below a certain floor, I'm sure that the Bank of Ghana will make an intervention to make sure that it remains within a certain band that gives the true value of the city against the other foreign currencies. So don't panic.
We had the President Mahama. Let's stay on the city, because former Trades Minister Dr. Spiel Gabbert says the 30% gain by the city against the dollar and over 20% against the pound and euro is no fluke. Speaking to Joy News in Abidjan during an exclusive interview that's set to air later tonight on Upfront with Blaise Suga, he described the appreciation as a result of government's deliberate efforts.
It's the first time in a long time, at least in my generation, I'm 70 plus years old, that prices are coming down. Fuel prices are coming down, spare parts prices are coming down, and even traders are appealing to themselves and each other. And there are videos online that we are all reading about traders, you know, knocking their buckets and clonging their horns, saying, time to reduce prices, reduce prices, reduce prices. Teso, teso, teso. Yeah. I mean, teso has now become a national slogan, you know, for price reductions. Right. And most people have not seen price reductions in a long time for any kind of goods and services. So that's a great time for any economy. And at the rate at which the city dollar exchange rate is progressing, 10 cedis to a dollar, I mean, that's something that nobody has ever thought or even could have predicted in January this year. Major achievement.
I see. And speaking about the cedi, In the last 690 plus days, as you know, the experts are calling it, the city has not performed this way.
Correct. Best performing currency.
Right.
Currently.
Do you feel that this is artificial, or it's something we can sustain?
If it was artificial, why didn't that occur last year under the MPP? If it's so artificial, any magician should just pull that ratio out of the hat and then have 5 CD to a dollar exchange rate. But it takes intelligence, it takes capacity, it takes experience to know how to juggle or massage the economic activities.
Well, he also responded to comments by former Vice President Dr. Bawumia, who claimed government has done nothing to influence the current gains.
Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia says backing the kind of economic rebound we are seeing.
Those are theories. If you tell the market to money, you don't see a policy. If the policy is this, let's reduce inflation, is that not a policy? You think a policy has to be written in a book? In his knowledge, that's policy. The word policy, one sentence can be a policy. One sentence.
Really?
Yeah. The government of Ghana is against, you know, abuse of office. It's a policy. But how many words or paragraphs or books or pages does a policy have to have in his knowledge, academic knowledge?
So he's just doing theory?
It's theory, because a policy doesn't have to be 20 pages. There's nothing anywhere in the world. And you can Google it. That's the policy must be 20 pages, 50 pages, 10 paragraphs. No. A policy is a statement of fact that this government will not tolerate abuse of office.
You heard there Dr. Echo Spiogabra speaking to Joy News. That full interview will air tonight on the Upfront. Let's go to the courts. Chief Justice Gertrude Tokonu is a leader of the judiciary. Lawyers bowed to her. But today she stood and bowed before a panel of her equals as she makes a last-ditch effort to stop the ongoing constitutional process to remove her from office. The Chief Justice wants the entire process stopped and the judges on the special committee removed. But then even before the substantive application will be decided, she has suffered an initial defeat after the court struck out some dispositions she had made in her supplementary affidavits. Member of our legal affairs desk, Kwekwa Sante, has been in court and has been monitoring proceedings for us and joins us on the phone lines with some details. So Kwekwa, let's start with that initial objection by the AG to struck out Justice Poaman and other members of the committee from the suit. What were the arguments and how did the court rule on that?
So, Hannah, on the face of the writ that was filed by the Chief Justice through lawyer Dr. Eliyahu Adamu, you realize that the first defendant is the Attorney General. The second to sixth defendants are members of the committee, the Justice Foreman, Justice Adibu Asedi, Justice Omlebo, and the other two members who form part of that five-member committee. According to the arguments made by Justice Sai, who is the Deputy Attorney General, it says these persons should not have been part of the action that has currently been instituted by Godfrey Damian and the Chief Justice. The Chief Justice's lawyers pressed forward and insisted that they have specific relief that ought to be directed at those defendants, and so it would be misconceived to argue that those persons should be struck out from the face of the writ. The court did take the opinion that the argument made by Justice Sai was without merit, and that those persons ought to still be part of the action, and that merely because the service is not directed at them in terms of the location, the venue, does not mean that they are incompetent to be on that action. So the court, on that objection that was ruled by the Attorney General, dismissed it.
Okay. So, but then there was another application by the Attorney General to strike out the supplementary affidavits filed by the suspended Chief Justice. How did that also end up?
The Chief Justice has deposed to affidavit claiming, among other things, that she had been subjected to emotional torture. For instance, she spoke about the fact that when she did go to the committee, certain matters that happened within the committee were simply meant to torture her emotionally. For instance, talking about how she was body screened, other things, the phones were taken. She actually made an argument before the committee that she had already filed an action at the Supreme Court and wanted the committee to take it slowly until the court decides on that injunction application, and the committee decided that despite the injunction application, we were going to go home. The argument of the Attorney General Department, led by Justice Sai, was to the effect that Article 146 hearings are supposed to be in camera, and so any deposition of affidavit that will argue or set out things that happened at the committee breaches the confidentiality nature of the hearing. Dr. Adame fought back and insisted that even if the depositions were said to be part of the in-camera hearing, and the infringe on the constitutional rights of any person, in this particular case, the Chief Justice, the Chief Justice can take up a seat at the court and vindicate a right on that matter. The court needs to take a little bit to consider the arguments made by both parties and then return with a unanimous verdict that the case filed by the Chief Justice and the affidavits that were deposed to actually revealed confidential matters, for which reason they struck out the entire supplementary affidavit that was filed by the Chief Justice and was deposed to by herself. And so that is not part of the record of the case that is currently being heard by the court.
Now, Kweku, before you stepped out for this report, that substantive application was being argued. So should we expect a ruling today?
Well, yes, if anything that the court, the precedent the court has made in some of these matters, the court will definitely give a ruling, but will defer its full judgment to a later date. Just when I stepped out, Godfrey Emoadami was making the substantive case for the Chief Justice, arguing that in their case, even a prima facie case has not been made out against the Chief Justice as of yet, because being a quasi-judicial decision, the Chief Justice ought to have been informed about the specific cases that have succeeded in the prima facie determination. And then he goes on to make the argument that Justice Foreman, who chairs the committee, actually gave judgment in favor of one, Daniel Okori, who is part of the petitioners in this case, for which reason he must be disqualified. The judges have been throwing some questions at him about whether or not a judge who sat on a case and decided on the merits of it can be said to be biased.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Godfrey Emoadami, I'm happy with this case. As regards to Justice Samuel Adibu Akpebi, the case being made by the Chief Justice is to the effect that Justice Samuel Adibu was empaneled to hear a matter regarding the Chief Justice before the President appointed him to be part of the committee. The questions that came from Justice Kulindi and Justice Sangu were to the effect that had the court started hearing these matters even before Justice Adibu Akpebi was appointed? The court again asked, there have been several instances where judges are sitting on a case and then the judges are appointed or promoted to superior court. Does that mean it affects the judicial independence of those judges? The justices seem to disagree with the Attorney General on that point, but they heard him on that. Just when I was stepping out, he had finished his argument and the justice side was responding. But to your question, you would expect that the judgment will be delivered.
Okay, so we await you reporting from the records. We heard there Kweku Asante, he's a member of our legal affairs desk. To other stories, Enjoy News and the Multimedia Group Limited have condemned the assault on journalist Latif Idrisu. Latif was attacked while reporting live from the Economic and Organized Crime Office, Yoko headquarters in Accra. He was covering the arrest of the Ashanti Regional Chairman of the MPP, Bernard Ntubuisiaku, popularly known as Chairman Wuntumi. Some supporters of the party who had marched up at the scene, verbally and physically assaulted a journalist, accusing him of biased reporting.
Brother, did you just make a statement that we are attacking the police?
No, we reported what just happened with regards to the arrival.
Hold on.
Calm down, calm down.
To the public that the police or the Yoko staff were attacking you and they took your phone and they made sure you deleted every footage you took.
I have reported that.
Have you reported?
Exactly.
So it's on record. Join news.
So right now, I've been assaulted with this pebble. Is captured live on television. I have been assaulted by individuals.
My brother,
turn the camera.
My brother.
While the MPP has since apologized, let's listen to the party's national youth organizer, Salam Mustafa.
We have seen that we have conducted ourselves very, very well here. It is rather the security people who have come to make this place as it is now. So first of all, let me apologize to you that any assault on you is regrettable. It is not any intentional act to attack you. So please, my brother, let's continue to work together. You have seen how they have handled citizens of this country. So I beg you, please, take the apology from me and let's move from where we are that we have been working together. Nobody will attack you here. Nobody will attack you.
Well, the Multimedia Group Limited is not taking this lightly and has filed a police complaint. Join his senior editor, Evans Mensah, joins us in the studio with more on this. Now, first tell us how Latif is doing currently.
Latif is doing well. Okay. This morning, he's been at the hospital for medical examination, but he's in good spirits and he's doing fine.
Great. But then what other steps has the Multimedia Group Limited taken?
So we filed the police report,
okay,
on the back of which he's done the medical examination. And obviously this must be condemned in uncertain terms. There's no place for assaulting journalists in the line of work. It's just like assaulting a doctor who's doing his work, or assaulting an MP who is simply doing his work on the floor of Parliament. There's no place for that in a democracy like ours. And that is why we've taken the step. Yes, the MPP, they have apologized. We acknowledge that. But if you assault somebody, it's a criminal offense. And so the police must look into that, mm-hmm, and bring the individuals who assaulted them to justice. And thankfully, this was captured on live television.
Yeah.
And so the police should have enough evidence to pursue this matter. And that is why we have placed it where it's supposed to be placed, where the police will investigate and bring people to justice. But Latif is doing well and we're happy with that.
Great. Thank you very much, Senior News Editor Evans Mensah there. Let's move on. And the Deputy Minority Leader in Parliament, Patricia Apiejie, has officially tabled a motion demanding the Minister for Foreign Affairs to appear before the House to explain government's decision to close Ghana's embassy in Washington, D.C., describing the move as reckless. Speaking at a media briefing by the leadership of Parliament, the MP for Asokwa raised concerns over what she called the abrupt and poorly communicated closure of one of Ghana's most strategic, important diplomatic missions. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa, took that decision following claims of corrupt deal by a local employee of the embassy.
We don't want a situation whereby the embassy is closed without any parliamentary consultation. We are told it is at the full support of the president. But we know how the processes with which we can execute before such closure. It is the one person who has committed that. So why are we seeing reckless closure of the place? Have we assessed the diplomatically costly exercise which they have undertaken? It is important that that person is brought to book. Then we demand that the foreign minister must appear before Parliament to explain. Otherwise, our job as an oversight, being responsible for overseeing the performance of these sectors, will not be properly executed.
Well, the Majority Leader, Mahama Yariga, says the closure was important to safeguard the integrity of the embassy.
Now, if you withdraw the staff there, how will the embassy function? You have to shut it down until you send a replacement staff. So you disengage, or he suspended the local staff that were engaged, and then he withdrew immediately our staff, and he immediately dispatched a new team who will be arriving there, I think, this morning. And by tomorrow, Thursday, the embassy will be fully operational and functional. Please tell me how wrong this decision is. Because you can't also allow them to remain there and continue to undermine the image and reputation of your country. By the time we heard, the intelligence agencies in those countries have picked it up. And then the public that is, you know, assessing our services have picked it up. So you have to take quick and immediate measures to redeem the image of the country. And I will highly commend the Minister for Foreign Affairs for the swiftness, the steadfastness, and the commitment to fighting corruption and maintaining our reputation as a country that will not tolerate corruption anywhere, anytime, anyhow.
While still on the media briefing, the minority deputy leader is demanding transparency in presidential travels.
The unfortunate thing that we have seen is that currently what is on the table is that we've seen our president and even the vice president travel with a private jet. And we have the excuse is that it is financed by a private individual. If that is the case, it is important that we know and know what will be the benefit for that person. Are you fueling or what are you giving back in return, because it cannot be that free. And then we also demanded that Ablekuma seat, the Ablekuma North election results must be announced, because the people are currently not represented in parliament. And we know for sure that the figures details that the MPP candidate has won.
Minority Deputy Leader there, let's take a short break here. When we come back, we'll share the heartwarming story of a third-generation Chobar operator who've pledged to sacrifice cheap cost of charcoal and fully migrate to LPG.
If government should listen to our cry, why not? We would stop the use of charcoal due to the other health hazards it has on us.